In Flanders fields, the poppies blow between the crosses, row on row, that mark our place, and in the sky, the larks, still bravely singing, fly. Scarcely heard amid the guns below, we are the dead. Short days ago, we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you, from failing hands, we throw. The torch be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep though poppies grow in Flanders fields. This is the Prather Point, welcoming you to a solemn Sunday before Memorial Day. That is the poem by Canadian Lieutenant Colonel John McCrae, who served as the brigade surgeon for the Allied Artillery Unit, who spotted in 1915, after World War I, a cluster of poppies growing on a set on a bloody battlefield. And that poem has become known with Memorial Days, and poppies have become very traditional to be worn, especially with paratroopers. And I'm an old paratrooper, so to all of the fallen, this is not Veterans Day. People sometimes call up and say, thanks for service. I'm like, yeah, okay, but I'm still here. This is for our honored dead. And poppies have been associated with that. Red has become associated with that. And it's also become associated with paratroopers, those of us who put our knees in the breeze, or who did put our knees in the breeze. So tomorrow, I wanted to read that poem. It's something you can look up and share with your family. That is In Flanders Field, by Lieutenant Colonel McCrae, who was a battalion surgeon with the Canadian Allied Forces. Anyway, this is Jeff Prather on the Prather Point, the Perfection Auto Works Studios, connecting the dots, telling you about fake news and telling you the truth that the deep state won't. You can call in at 520-790-2040. If you like the show, fund the show at gogetfunding.com. The Prather Point. You can also train with me at the BujinkanUSA.com dojo. Been in town for 29 years. WarriorSchool.com. Teaching firearms to the military and intelligence by tens of thousands. But just like Maurice did, and Maurice is a veteran, by the way, on the last show, I wanted to start off by telling you about Veterans Day. It's not just for beers and burgers and hot dogs. He was kind of going over it. I'll go over in a little more depth. But 3 weeks after the Confederate surrender on May 1st, 1865, more than 1,000 recently freed slaves, accompanied by the Massachusetts 54th Infantry. And that always reminds me of a great movie. I haven't recommended a movie in a while, but that's one. If you haven't seen it, Denzel Washington, Morgan Freeman, Matthew Broderick, Glory is a great soldier film, but it's also about the first black regiment fighting in the Civil War. Have you seen it, John? It's awesome. I've seen it many times. Remember when it came out? True story. So that's who the Massachusetts 54th were. And they could no longer be considered slaves because a slave negotiates for their lives. And a freeman warrior will defend and fight for their lives. Of course, there was segregation. There's still prejudice after that. But that was the turning point in one of our great sins there. But anyway, some of the U.S. colored troops, as they called them back then, in Massachusetts 54th Infantry, and a handful of white Charlestons gathered in the camp to consecrate a new proper burial site for the Union dead. And they sang hymns, gave readings, and distributed flowers around the cemetery, which they dedicated at the time to the martyrs of the race course. And that, of course, is referring to Lincoln's abolition of slavery, which is not the start of the Civil War, by the way. That's not what it was about. It was about preserving the Union. If you go to the Lincoln Memorial, you'll go underneath and see where Lincoln says, if I could free all the slaves and preserve the Union, I would. If I could free some of them, I would. If I freed none of them, I would. Because he, like Washington, and I think like Trump, believes that the United States of America is a exceptional country because of our exceptional love of life and freedom. And we are the world's best hope. And I think that that is certainly has set an example America has in the past. But anyway, Moving up to 1868, General John Logan, the commander-in-chief of the Union Veterans Group, known as the Grand Army of the Republic. By the way, that's what GOP stands for. They never say it because Grand Old Party tells you how old that party is and that it's grand. The Dems, that's a relatively new party, the party of slavery, part of the Ku Klux Klan, Whigs before that and all that. But he issued a decree that on a nationwide day of commemoration for the more than 620,000 soldiers killed in the Civil War. Civil War is really a turning point in warfare for those of us who are veterans. The Europeans were watching us fight. It's the first time two bullets met and struck each other in combat. The fire was that heavy, and the Europeans were watching us over here, watching us, and they're like, when these guys get finished with each other, they're going to be an exceptional force. Civil War also pulled back all of the forces from the West and let a lot of Othochonic indigenous native peoples resurge and take back places. And in fact, the movie about Tucson, which Old Tucson was built for, or Arizona maybe it's called, where Old Tucson was built, was about that time, about the Unions pulling out, the Confederates coming in. But anyway, General Logan said that Americans should lay flowers and decorate the graves of the war dead. It's nothing new. The civilians have honored their dead down through history, probably going back to the Spartans, which is a very simple memorial at the Hot Gates, at the Gates of Fire, and the memorial that Leonidas says there, and for you youngsters, if there are any youngsters listening, that's 300, but it's actually the Battle of Thermopylae. It's the Alamo that started democracy. Stranger passing by, go tell the Spartans that here we lie, obedient to their orders, which is the orders where they couldn't bring the army, they could only bring the personal bodyguard. So, you know, this is a big day for me. I watch war movies and cry, and my wife tolerates me. Even before the war's end, though, women's groups across much of the South were gathering informally to decorate the graves of Confederate dead. In 1886, the Ladies Memorial Association of Columbus, Georgia, resolved to commemorate the fallen once a year, a decision that seems to have influenced General Logan to follow suit, according to his wife. Just always interesting to see that, listening to our wives, who are usually much wiser than us. But it didn't become a federal holiday until 1971. Pretty interesting. In the 70s, a lot of things happened. 78, when Indians were allowed to practice their native religions again in America. But America's embraced the notion of Decoration Day immediately. That first year, more than 27 states, I'm talking about 1971, held some sort of ceremony with more than 5,000 people in attendance at a ceremony at Arlington National Cemetery. And if you haven't been, you need to go. That's the one place y'all need to go. And that's the one place you need to take all your kids, to Arlington. And it says right there, ooh, I'm crying on the air, America's most sacred shrine. And go see the Tomb of the Unknown. They change the guard every half an hour. 3rd Infantry. Very cool. They won't abandon their posts, even in hurricanes. By 1890, every former state of the Union had adopted it as an official holiday. But for more than 50 years, the holiday was used to commemorate those killed just in the Civil War, not in any other American conflict. And it wasn't until America's entry into World War I that the tradition was expanded to include those killed in all wars. And Memorial Day was not officially recognized until the 1970s, with America deeply embroiled in the Vietnam War, which I find very interesting. And for those of you who have been to Arlington, I don't know if you know, but that was General Lee's, wiping the tears out of my eyes here, General Lee's estate. And initially, only Union dead were allowed to be there. And Lincoln fought against that. And they also wanted to not seat the South. And Lincoln argued very vehemently before he was assassinated, hey, no, they were always part of the United States. If you say they're not part of the United States anymore, then the whole thing we fought over was the preservation of the Union is wrong. We're going to seat them, we're going to recognize them, and we're going to bury all our dead here together. There's a great scene in Glory where the commander is thrown in the slit trench with the former slave that Denzel Washington plays so well there at the end of the movie. Anyway, coming up on a break here. This is Jeff Prather on the Prather Point in the Perfection Auto Works Studios. A little emotional with you on Memorial Day. Back with you in a second. Jeff Prather on the Prather Point, AM 1030, KVOI.com, trusted local news and talk in the Perfection Auto Works Studios. Go see Mike Emery there. That was a pretty good Patton. Coming off the movie Patton, which was a very good, well-done movie. 323-8650, 1046 North Beverly Avenue, Tucson, Arizona. PerfectionAutoWorks.com. Yeah, get that AC checked out, and also stop in Diamondback Shooting Sports and see those guys. They got all kinds of great stuff, and Doug has supports a lot of military and law enforcement like me. So, yeah, you know, I'm not going to apologize for being emotional. I think that is very important. I know people at Arlington. I know people at the law enforcement memorial in Tucson at both. Been there many times, especially when I was stationed there in D.C. If you haven't been to Arlington, you got to go. You got to take your kids. Every eighth grade tour should go to Arlington and watch the old guard changing of the guard. It is really amazing. Have you been? Have you seen it? No, you should go, John. It is really something special to see, and very solemn and very moving. But anyway, finishing up there with Memorial Day. Although the term Memorial Day was used beginning in the 1880s, the holiday was officially known as Decoration Day, as Maurice said on the last show, for more than a century, when it was changed by federal law. 4 years later, the Uniform Monday Holiday Act of 1968 finally went into effect, moving Memorial Day from its traditional observance on May 30th to the last Monday in May. And so what should you be doing? Well, you know, you should make your life sacred, and you should honor our sacred dead. That's part of the problem. That's why only 0.5% of Americans join the military today. And it's always funny because people always tell me on Memorial Day, thank you for your service, and I accept them, but, you know, I'm not dead. It's for the dead. You can thank me on Veterans Day, which is coming up shortly. But what should you do? You should tell your kids about it. You should say a little prayer. You should know the history. That's why I'm telling you, so you can turn around and tell your friends and family. A lot of people don't know. They don't pay any attention because things are so good and so easy. The American flag should be hung at half staff until noon on Memorial Day. Or if you don't have a flagpole like I do, you hang it vertically, and you hang the blue field of stars to the east, so it's moving forward. You can see that on the soldiers on their right shoulder when they're wearing their flag patch. The blue field is moving forward as if the flag was moving forward. And you should, and this was mandated back in 2000 by Congress, they actually did something useful, is at 3 p.m. tomorrow, you should pause for a moment of silent reflection or prayer, as I would say, for all of the fallen. That's how you should celebrate Memorial Day. And, you know, I train a lot of kids in the dojo, in my dojo, BujinkanUSA.com. I've mentored a lot of them into the military, into law enforcement, into intelligence. I have a lot of law enforcement military in there for years, for 29 years. And, you know, tell them about that. Make them part of that part of the culture. Like next year, if you're in my classes next week, I'll be showing, next week is June 6th. June 6th is the 76th anniversary of D-Day, another crucial day in the history of freedom in the world. I just talked about Thermopylae. For you youngsters, that's 300. That was a crucial day. That was the Greek Alamo. But June 6th was the invasion of taking back Europe. And that changed history forever and should be honored. 76, and we're losing those. And if, Dad, if you're listening, thanks again for your service there in World War II in the Pacific. But what else can you do? Well, you can go and, you know, if you really want to reflect, and you can go to the Marana Veterans Graveyard, or you can go to any of the cemeteries. But more important is not to remember them at stone, but remember them in your hearts and in your minds and in your souls. And that is, tell your family and friends what it means to serve, even if you haven't served. Most Americans today really appreciate the military. It's not the 60s anymore, which is good. But that's really crucial that that should be done. If you want to do something beyond that, then Gold Star Moms. And Sharon Jones on Facebook is the Gold Star Mom in Tucson. If you don't know what a Gold Star Mom is, there's nobody who sacrifices more than Gold Star Moms. And those are the moms of fallen service members. In the old days, when serving, you'd see in their window, they'd put Black Star for the number of serving. If you can see that at the beginning of Saving Private Ryan. A gold star means they've lost somebody. Every once in a while, you'll see them on vehicles, decals on vehicles, because Tucson is a military town with Huachuca down there in Sierra Vista and certainly Davis-Monthan right here as well. So you can get involved with that because no one takes it harder than the moms. So, and next week, June 6th, that's another date you should be telling your kids about. And as far as I'm concerned, the best movie to watch there is not Saving Private Ryan, which is a great movie, but it's fiction. Watch The Longest Day, and that is black and white. You've seen that one, huh? Yeah, I've seen it a million times, and I'll probably show scenes from that. As an old paratrooper, I'll watch the jump into St. Mary Glees, where the paratroopers land right in the town and are killed on the way down. And also Pont du Hoc, where the Rangers, and I'm honored. I'm not a Ranger. I've trained at the Rangers and with the Rangers and jumped with the Rangers, but I'm not a Ranger, but where the Rangers climb the cliff straight up under German fire, which is much harder than what was shown in, it was impossible. They did the impossible, which is what American warriors have always done, going up right under German fire, Pont du Hoc. So those are cool things to put into your life as part of your culture. And there's, you know, tons of other good war movies out there as well. And if you got one that you want to tell me about, call in 520-790-2040. And so to all of my fellow veterans who are also remembering fallen brothers and sisters, like I am today, keeping you in prayers. Remember, it's not just fallen from some battle or something. You know, I, as a chaplain, I had to do a funeral a couple of years back for a corpsman who had lost a lot of Marines in Fallujah. It was very tragic. And I had to point out to the family that he was fallen due to non-physical, invisible wounds that he got in combat. And that's coming along. People are recognizing PTSD. Warriorschool.com. We're going to be switching to a resilience training, doing much more horsemanship, much more than firearms and tactical preparation that we've done in the last couple of years. But I don't think we take enough time to talk about Memorial Day. That's why I'm spending a lot of time talking about it today. But if you got comments or questions about that, you should make it to Arlington and see the change in the old guard. As you walk into the cemetery, start going up the hill, there's places where as far as you can see, it's just crosses and stars, Jewish stars, stars of David, as far as you can see. And as you get closer, it's all the infantry and it's all the airborne infantry. Lee Marvin, old Tucson boy, is there. Audie Murphy's there. Lots of folks are there, and you can go find those graves and look at them. It's not a parade, and the ceremony is very solemn of the changing of the guard. Anyway, that's probably enough of that. So I'm going to get into what's going on of late in the AG Barr investigation, and that's really changing. So much is changing. So Dan Bongino is an ex-special agent, 1811 Secret Service guy who's been on YouTube, and he's starting to become on Fox. Now he was co-hosting for Sean Hannity. So what we're seeing is the alternative news is now shifting to the mainstream news. At the same time, CNN is dying. They're laying off entire divisions because they're just so phony and so ridiculous. And it's the same stuff over and over, just cover-ups. So the alternative news is becoming the mainstream news while the fake news is dying. And something I've said for years on other stations is help fake news die. No violence. You don't need to go kill it. Just watch it die. Just like paper journalism is dying. So alternative news is going mainstream. And at the same time, and you're never going to hear this yet on mainstream news, but popular freedom movements are just flourishing everywhere. France, the yellow vest stuff, too much taxation is still happening. It's been happening for several years. When's the last time you saw a mainstream story on that? You don't. What's happening in England, where we came from? May is going to have to resign because she won't pull off Brexit. They won't get out of the European Union. And she's leaving, and conservatism, nationalism, patriotism is coming in. All across Europe, this is happening. This is even happening in Mexico as well. In Michoacan, the places I've worked, is vigilantes are taking back their neighborhoods. So freedom is in a resurgence. People have had enough of the communist, socialist, dictatorship, collectivist lies, and they are rising up. It's not just a movement with Trump, and it is worldwide. And that is really cool because I think Trump is in many ways leading that movement, and we should be leading that movement. But anyway, I've gone over, so we're going to go up to a break here. I'll be right back with you. This is Jeff Prather on the Prather Point in the Perfection Auto Works Studios on Sunday before Memorial Day. Jeff Prather on the Prather Point in the Perfection Auto Works Studios back with you right now. Make sure you go in and see Mike Emery. He's been in business for 25 years with the same guys for 20 years, voted the top shop in Tucson, over 250 Google reviews of 5 stars plus. So, moving past Memorial Day, getting myself together here. Thanks, Kirk, my fellow. We were commissioned together. I'm getting a text here saying, great job, as usual. I hope you're listening. So, moving past the Memorial Day stuff and getting into what's going on in the news is, what they're still not telling you, because they're still not connecting the dots, because all the stories are individual, is that freedom is moving across the world. It is striking all across America through Trump. It's not Trump. Trump is recognizing what the American people want, which is freedom and less government. And it is moving all across Europe. And it is, and that includes France, which is Canada, you know, because Canada was French. And that includes Mexico with the vigilantes. Autovigilantes, they're calling themselves down there. And that's because Trump is standing up to this government, this over-intrusive government. So I've never considered myself a conspiracy guy. I've been a guest on other shows, conspiracy shows, and they've kind of not liked me because I said, you know, I don't think that the government blew up the Twin Towers. I was at Ground Zero, both places shortly after that. I think we missed it as an intelligence failure, very much so, but I don't think the government did it. But I do think the government's been behind a lot of things, you know, government, CIA covering up and DOJ covering up JFK assassination with putting bullet fragments on the x-rays, really stupid stuff. But today, with the text messages and the emails and the government tracking everything, they have really put themselves in a trick box. And that's why they're not getting away with it as well. But this should concern everybody, because if they'll do this to Trump, and they will do this to me when I was a special agent and intelligence officer boss with the DIA, they'll certainly do it to you. And they are doing it to you. And that means us. Panastopoulos was talking about that honeypot coming over. They sent a honeypot to Tucson for me when they couldn't make anything stick. She came into the dojo. I want private lessons. It was obvious. I didn't fall for it. But they do all that. They want all Trump's tax returns. They asked for 20 years of my tax returns. This is a by-the-book playbook that they're going by, and we should not buy into it, and we should support Trump, because just imagine where we would be if Hillary had gotten elected with all this. It would be disastrous. So things are looking up, But the left, the collectivist dictatorship left, the great left-wing conspiracy, which is really what it is, because remember, whatever the left says is what they're really doing, is trembling literally in fear and passing out. So Jerry Nadler, the guy who's been lying forever, passes out at a hearing. And nobody connects that. They show that, but they don't show why they connected that. Well, what was happening just before that? What was happening was Nadler's, you know, remember Schiff, Nadler, all these guys have been saying, we got evidence. The Mueller report's going to show evidence that Trump was lying, that Trump was colluding. And it's just exactly the opposite. I've done deep dives, which I'm not going to do today, showing that it was the left and Hillary colluding, not just with the Russians, but with the Chinese and others as well. So they're still trying to bring about this hoax, a dossier of a dossier, that is, follow a hoax of the Mueller report, which is a hoax of the dossier, which was a hoax, which the investigation now they are contradicting each other in that they can't keep their dates straight, they can't keep all their lies straight. And so there were previous investigations. That's all coming out, and the mainstream media is starting to pick up on it. So Nadler was saying, "Well, we'll bring in Mueller because we'll make Mueller our secret weapon." And I can imagine these conversations with these bosses, because I was around all these bosses. You know, I was several layers below him, but I was around him. Is they all think they're so smart. Comey thinks he was brilliant, never served as a special agent. Brennan, who was a communist, head of the CIA, who now says, well, I'm not sure that the dossier was valid. Clapper, the Director of National Intelligence, ODNI, the Office of Director of National Intelligence, that's the head of the intelligence community over at Bowling Air Force Base, stood many times outside his office. They all took over this investigation and ran it themselves. But that's not their job. It was never their job, and they're not qualified to have done that job. It's very similar to what Oliver North, and this is going to be less popular. This was my day, my introduction to covert operations, when Oliver North is running stuff to the Contras illegally. I was involved in that, but I was doing it legally through special forces. But again, all these bosses think they're smarter than everybody else because they're in D.C. They're not. They're just more aggressive than everybody else, and they don't know how to do this, and this thing's falling apart. So Nadler has been saying, well, we'll get Mueller in here. He'll straighten it all out. He'll come in here. We'll get him, because I'm sure Stroke and Mueller and Comey and Brett, oh, yeah, we can do this. We're so smart. And all these politicians are you know, okay. So now Mueller doesn't want to testify publicly. Well, why doesn't Mueller want to testify publicly? Well, because Mueller isn't that stupid, and he's a politician. Remember, I told you that the first part, he divided the part into, he gave one thing to the conservatives, to the Trump supporters, which was no collusion. He gave something else as best he could to the left, is can't prove obstruction. So he's trying to pacify both sides, even though the second was ridiculous, because as a prosecutor, if you don't have enough evidence to prosecute, you drop it. That's what you're supposed to do. Just like Comey was not supposed to decide not to give the option to bring Hillary before the grand jury to Lynch. Lynch is another one lying. They're all getting caught in their lies, and they're all getting worried. So Mueller says, I don't want to testify. Why? Because he's looking at all these things out there, seeing how he's in trouble. And right now, he's a good guy. Right now, Trump likes him. Right now, Barr likes him. But Barr's made it real clear, and Barr's made a couple more public statements. His latest thing was, when I get done with all this Beltway crap, I'll be out there to see all you guys. So Barr, again, is not worried about these guys. He's the smartest guy in the room. He is not scared. He did this job 20 years ago. He knows Mueller. And so Mueller at this point is realizing, okay, I worked both sides, but I'm going to stay with the winning side. That's why initially none of the rhinos supported Trump in D.C. Remember how frustrated we were at the first 2 years of Trump being elected and nobody supported him? Nobody supported him because the rhinos didn't think he was going to last. because they were listening to their colleagues saying, oh, no, we got him. He's going to be done. We're going to wrap this up. We got the FBI going after him. We got the CIA going after him. And so the rhinos are like sitting on the sidelines, making sure they're okay, because they don't have to do anything. The rhinos like to lose. They like to lose and sit on the sidelines and do nothing. But now Mueller's saying, well, maybe I don't know if I even want to testify at all. And so what happens when he says that? And he's talking, and Nadler says, we're in negotiations. What? All of a sudden there's negotiations about testimony? What was it about? Hey, we'll just subpoena. Barr's guy, I can't remember his name. We'll throw him in the jail. Nadler is scared. Schiff is scared. The trap is closing in on them. And then even worse, Trump comes out and says, he gives the order to declassify all the FISA material. So a lot of people are kind of confused about that. So I was an intelligence officer since 1984. I'm still doing intelligence, corporate intelligence, competitive intelligence, but I held a top secret special compartment information clearance my whole time through the DOD and through the DOJ simultaneously. So I'm very familiar with classified material. So the declassification was with respect to any matter classified under Executive Order 13526 of December 29th, 2009, which is the Classified National Security Information Act. The Attorney General may, by applying the standards set forth in either Section 31A or 31D of Executive Order 13256, declassify, downgrade, or direct the declassification or downgrading of information or intelligence that relates to the Attorney General's review referred to in this memorandum. Before exercising this authority, the Attorney General should, to the extent he deems it practical, consult with the head of the originating intelligence community. There's a caveat called ORCON, originator control. The CIA likes to use it a lot. That's where they get to control the intelligence they're releasing, which is a potential for abuse. And remember, I can't talk too much about this, but I've said many times, there is an unholy alliance now between the intelligence community and the Department of Justice. Can't talk a lot about that, but there's a big difference between intelligence and evidence. And when that veil is cut and crossed, we get these big problems. And that's how we get entrapment and all this stuff going on. But this authority is not delegatable. And this is the beginning of the end for Obama, Comey, Brennan, Clapper, who are already contradicting each other. This is why Nadler's fainting. And this is why May is resigning. Because remember, who was the author of the dossier? Steele. Where was Steele? He was a British intelligence personnel who was working with a Russian. And what is happening also behind the scenes now is that the Trump administration intelligence personnel now are working with our allied intelligence personnel and our allied justice personnel. That means they've got people in those places now that aren't fighting anymore. So what you're seeing is all of those heads of those departments, and in the case of Britain, those heads of state that cooperated with trying to bring down Trump are resigning. That's what happened with Ryan. That's why Ryan resolved. Resigned is because they brought intelligence and said, get out or we will release this stuff. And there's been, and I've talked about that on previous shows, where they've brought hundreds of government, congressional people resigning. So this is really good news, and this is what's happening behind the scenes. But I digress. I'm about to run to my last third break here. Remember, you can call in at 520-790-2040. This is Jeff Prather on the Prather Point. Right back with you after this. Jeff Prather on the Prather Point. Back with you. Remember to check out Diamondback Shooting Sports, 20 years of service and sales to law enforcement, military, and community with lots of training classes of as well. Their instructor, Ben, was with the 82nd. He trained with me. Great guy. So going into our last segment here, you can always call in at 520-790-2040. And what I was talking about was how the populist National Freedom Movement is sweeping the world, not just America. And that's not still what you're hearing, but you are beginning to hear that the alternative news, Bongino, for example, is becoming the mainstream news, sitting in for Sean Hannity. And that's a title change, just like you're seeing title changes in America. Sea changes, everything changing. So how is this going to work out? So Trump said when he declassified this that they've been asking me, and what he's saying is his staff and DOJ and everybody, they've been asking me to declassify this for a while, but I was advised not to because the Dems and the fake media would have portrayed it as obstruction. If he had declassified this stuff during the investigation, and he's exactly right, and his staff is exactly right, they would have portrayed it as obstruction. So he said, so I waited. And now I'm not even going to do it. The Attorney General Barr asked me to have declassification authority, and that's big. Things normally declass after 20 years, and that's part of marked on the doc, and they're classified till then. And but so he's giving Barr that to that authority to have more transparency. And of course, the left shift to stay in, well, this is obstruction. Transparency is obstruction. So last week there was they want all of Trump's tax returns, and they're mad that Trump won't give them to him because there's no crime. You have a crime, then you investigate, not find a person, then make a crime, which is what they're doing. It's entrapment, what the FBI has been doing for a long time. But they're saying that when he wants to declassify the stuff that no longer applies, that has been asked for a long time, the FISA stuff, that is somehow obstruction. And that is, and Brennan's coming out and screaming, oh, that's messing up the intelligence community, when this has nothing to do with sources and methods. And sources and methods will certainly be protected for that. So that just shows the hypocrisy and that they are really scared. And what you're going to start to see is from the bottom down, you're going to see them start to turn. Because this goes back to the Obama White House. This goes back to Obama. This goes directly back to Obama. My thing, you know, how I got started in this years ago was Fast and Furious, and the DEA came after me. And when they started coming after me the first couple of years, I'm like, this is a rogue OPR, Officer Professional Responsibility investigator. And then I finally realized, no, this is coming from the top. When they flew me from New York to LA for a week to ask me one question for 20 minutes, I'm like, this guy didn't have this much juice. This is coming from the top. And so this goes back to the top. All these resources, Obama would have had to authorize through the Director of National Intelligence the contacts that initiated this in Europe for the CIA to approach Panadopoulos through their cutouts and trying to bribe him, which he didn't take the bribe, and trying to do the honeypot thing. Those things would have had to have been approved through POTUS, through the Secretary of State, Hillary, and they are worried. And this can come back, this should come back to haunt Hillary again too. But that's not where it'll start. It'll start with the Brennans, with the Comeys, and you can already see them turning on each other. And so somebody's going to crack. If you've ever seen LA Confidential, where he puts the different bad guys in different rooms and just trying to get them to crack. Another big thing that's happening here, and this is what Q has been saying all along, is trust the plan, that this plan is happening. This is the Q, the anonymous military intelligence sources that are supporting Trump and Flynn, for that matter. And this is even happening with the Jesse Smollett cases. The judge is not going to let them steal those records. So there is transparency emerging over and over here again from the Smollett level in Chicago, right up. And remember last week I talked about Chicago and the border funding Familias Unidas and No Borders as well. So I'm connecting the dots for you and seeing how it's all tying in. And what's going to happen is Trump is going to start gradually, slowly apportioning these leaks out. He even said that if we put all this out at once, it would be too much for the media to cover, and it would just, it'd be one news cycle and it'd be gone. And so they're going to bring it out. Actually, I don't think Trump said it. I think it was maybe Graham or somebody else said that. No, we're going to bring it out gradually. And they're going to bring it out gradually over what time period? They're going to bring it out gradually over the next 2 years, because the next 2 years is where the Dems and the left, whatever they're planning to do this time, are going to begin to try and sabotage the vote yet again. So what's Trump going to do? As they do that, Trump is going to start releasing the results of the investigation and the declassification over and over and over through the next 2 years as that happens. That's my prediction. That's my intelligence analysis of what's going to happen. And so every time the Dems are going to try and bring something up, he's going to release something. And everybody's going to, and the news cycle will do what it's been going to, and it's going to go right to Trump, which he's been doing with every tweet, which is what I always say. Trump throws the ball with a tweet, media chases it, Trump cuts taxes. Trump throws the ball with another tweet, media chases it, Trump kills ISIS. So that is what I think is going to happen. Got a couple other things, but I got my most loyal caller, Mark. Welcome to the Sunday before Memorial Day. You're on the air.
Yes, thanks for your show. And as much as I dislike John Brennan, well, he's no longer there. But why did it take so long for him to get out of there? He was not removed. He left, didn't he?
You know, I don't know. And I just saw something saying his security clearance wasn't revoked. But the reason for that is,
right,
is because with all these things, these executive branch folks, they all work for the president, for the commander in chief. And that's what I did under intelligence, military, and law enforcement. That's all under the executive branch. But they're a fiefdom under themselves. They're very hard to remove. You know, the Congress has not had much luck with them at all. Who's had the most luck is Judicial Watch. Bringing lawsuit after lawsuit. But they're very closed off. You know, like Trump said, hey, declassify the JFK CIA assassination files. And what did the CIA do? They didn't. So it's very difficult to do that. But what Trump is doing and Barr is doing is, well, do you want to survive this? Do you want to get on our side? That, you know, that's what remember I talked about Rosenstein maybe last show or the show before that and played the clip where Rosenstein has now shifted sides. And I think Mueller is doing the same thing right now. And you're going to start to see a wave of that happening. Brennan is not going to shift sides. He can't. But he's just, if you look at his tweets, he basically advocated treason. He said, I hope the intelligence agencies resist Trump. Well, that's, the intelligence agencies work for the commander in chief. So you're telling them to be traitors. And he has to say that, just like Comey has to say whatever wild stuff, because if they don't, they're going to be indicted. Does that answer your question?
Well, yeah. I guess Mike Pompeo replaced Brennan, but it took far too long for Trump to get Brennan out of there. Or I don't remember what happened. If Brennan left on his own accord or what the deal was. But,
I don't remember, but I can tell you that everything with the government is so slow. They're really slow. They lose their paperwork. They forget to do everything. They spell it wrong. I can tell you, if my wife's listening, she's nodding right now because it takes forever to get anything done. But it is happening. All the IC heads and all the DOJ heads are now replaced. And the lower echelon, there's still a lot of them need to go, but the morale is changing quite a bit, and that's going to make a big difference. But that's why it took so long.
Okay. And do you have more to say on this topic? Because I was about to...
No, I was going to... Nope, go ahead.
Topic. Okay, so for along the border, we need to have a border road built along that border so we can, you know, transport people back and forth to, you know, to stop people crossing the border. And what do you know of anything like that happening?
I don't know anything about that, but I can tell you what we really need at the border is we need immigration judges down there at the border. I can tell you that when I was with DEA down there, when I first got there in the 90s, there were four of us. Tucson was full of agents and Phoenix had even more. Why? Because nobody wants to work the border. But where should you be? On the border. We worked so many more cases than the Tucson and Phoenix agents, it was ridiculous. So we really need immigration judges and a big presence down there. John Walker Lynn, the traitor, is out next week. He killed, I believe, the CIA Special Activities Division, Tom Spann, who was initially in Afghanistan. Nothing we can do about that, but we'll keep our eyes out, have a solemn and blessed Memorial Day. Remember the fallen. This is Jeff Prather on the Prather Point.